Alright, so I think that the live broadcast is on BBS right now. Music comes in. Welcome everybody to those who have joined already on BBS. You are still checking in, people. Please bear with us.
Marilyn, did you get the email on the content for tonight?
Yes.
Looks very interesting. Law of One.
I know. It sounds very interesting. I'm excited.
I want to welcome the person who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Valerie in Half Moon Bay, California.
Hi, Valerie. Rock to the call. How are you?
Hi, thank you.
Hi, thank you for being here. Somebody else came in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Barbara from San Mateo, California.
Do you guys do this on purpose? Come on, right next to it.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hey, how are you?
Barbara?
Bill should be along shortly.
Is this all done by psychic connection, or do you guys coordinate?
Donna from Great Falls, Montana.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. How are you all?
Good.
How many feet of snow in Great Falls, Montana now?
None. It melted today. It got up to 63.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
60 degrees in Montana, Maryland. Envious.
I bet she's happy about that.
Donna.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
Sounds like Marilyn was spacing out again.
Oh, it's all right.
I was muted.
You and Terry going to mute college.
That's right.
I'll take it,
sir.
Who cares?
Oh, please say your name and location.
Hello. My name is Mary from Lincoln, California.
Oh, right. There's two people at the same time. Welcome to the call, Mary. And Mac, also welcome to you. How are you doing?
Thank you.
I'm very fine. Thanks for being here.
Is this your first time, Mary?
Really, yes. It's the first time I've said anything.
Oh, okay. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Out of curiosity, what's the weather in Nebraska?
I'm not in Nebraska, I'm in California.
Oh, Lincoln, California?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know a place like that existed.
Oh, really? I'm right outside of Sacramento.
Oh.
Hi, this is Kathy in Sacramento.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
That's not Kathy Oasis. Is that Kathy Oasis?
No.
Okay, hi, Kathy.
Hi. I don't know who Kathy Oasis is. He just asked me if I was Kathy Oasis. We don't either.
Another one of Wynn's secrets.
Yeah.
That's two of us from Sacramento. That's fine. There you go. Yeah. Lincoln's close to Sacramento. About an hour. Actually, I'm from Rockland, but I figured nobody knows where that is.
Oh, yeah. That's the close to
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah, my daughter lives in Rockland. by the poet there in Rockland.
Nice. To make this interesting, you should start giving door prizes on the calls for the people from the closest distance and then the callers that are the farthest apart.
Yeah, good idea.
There's a door prize. I want to rock the next person. This is the BBS call. Please say your name and location.
Ruth, Minnesota.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hello.
I welcome the next person. Please say your name and location.
Phil, New Orleans. And Burbank, California. Hello, everyone.
All right. Phil, and who's that from California?
BC and Burbank, California.
All right. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the country.
Thank you.
Don't join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Lisa, welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, guys? How are you?
Good. Say hi, but I don't hear it. But that, it could be because I was on speakerphone. Anyway, we had somebody else came in again. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan from Michigan.
Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And we had more people join in here in the last few minutes. And if you want to do so, if you haven't done so, please say your name and location.
Oh, hi.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Same time, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cecilia in Virginia.
Hello, welcome to the call. Hello, welcome to the call.
This is Steve from Flagstaff.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for being here. And more people keep joining in. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Yeah, this is Don in Superior.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Good. How are you? Hi.
Good. Thanks for being here. And let's see. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Don from Kingman.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Donna. It's Dave in Indiana. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Good evening, welcome everybody. Please say your name and location.
Rafa, Florida.
Good evening, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. More people have joined in. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Good evening and welcome to the call.
Nice, you're playing drums back there?
I'm sorry, what's your question?
I said you're playing
drums
back
here. This is some music that the BBS is playing for us.
Oh, okay.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Diana in Muncie, New York.
Hi, Diana. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
And welcome to the next person. different location. Good evening and welcome to the call. All right. All right, Wynn, are you ready to start the show?
No.
All right.
Conference is being recorded.
And this is October 29th, 2012. Wynn Free in Sedona. Terry in Sedona. All of you, wherever you are. And I'm just going to unmute you for a moment. I got a question. How many of you have read the raw material on here?
Yes.
Yes.
You, unmuted.
How many of you have heard Carla Ruckert on our calls?
Yes.
Carly, okay. From Logan, Utah.
Hi there. Hi from Logan. Okay.
Hi.
Okay.
This is Jackie in Chico.
Jackie in
California.
California. Pico, California?
Pico.
Pico. How come I never heard of Pico? I've heard of every
Chico. No, Chico.
Oh, Chico.
She's nearby
all
me.
Right. I heard of Chico. All right.
You know that means...
You know what? What'd you say?
What does muted mean?
Muted means I talk and you don't.
Okay. Good answer.
Jackie, we love you.
Oh, thank you. I love you, too.
Jackie, if you have something really important to say, I'll give you your moment.
Could be?
You're being heard around the world.
Okay.
But make it short.
Oh. Well, I've written in a couple of times, asked for healing on my back and my leg.
Are you getting any results?
No.
All right.
I'm sorry to say no, I haven't.
I'm sorry I asked, but keep coming, and I don't know why some people do, why they don't, or when they do. Sometimes it happens after a month, but now I muted everybody. Okay, and I'm going to keep you all muted, and Terry, you're there, right? Hello, Terry.
Someone's here.
You're there. Okay, super. All right, you know, I announced the topic tonight, and this is going to be kind of one of... Hang on, let me... One of those informational calls, because, you know, I had a chance to review a little bit of the raw material, and I thought that there was a lot of stuff that people would be interested in because there's so many specific questions that Don Elkins asked Carla Ruckert about this period of time. And for those of you, I'll just do a quick introduction on who Ra is, okay? And as I see it. As how they describe themselves, and as I see it, because in initial stages of my conversations with Daphne, I asked a number of questions about Ra. I was trying to figure out, am I wacko? Is this real? Because the story was so out there, my conscious mind, and, you know, anyone who's discovering this for the first time, our work has got to go through this. It's so science fiction-y. It's like, could this be real? And I welcome you. Keep going through it. Keep studying our materials. Keep listening to our calls, because it's not something you can integrate and believe the first time. And even when you do start to believe it, your mind will say, am I making a mistake? Could this be real? It takes some time to integrate it. And it's not the belief that is so important. It's not having a belief system that's correct. But it's learning that there are energies in other dimensions that we can make connection with in this dimension and that operate honoring free will, and that they can do many, many things to help us personally, to help our planet, but we have to make a connection with them or else they may not do it. And so by hearing who they are, how they operate, it gives you a little bit better mental introduction to what you're looking for. Because if you just aim out there and think, okay, Ra, come to me, as I've learned, it's very highly possible and even likely you'll get a negative source that answers you in some way or another, and it might even say it's Ra or the Elohim, and it may not be. And it could be leading you into a path of perdition. And in fact, the history of mankind is totally jaded by that particular thing that I just described, where negative sources come through, talk to people, and they think it's the same source that spoke to Jesus and the same source that spoke to whoever, and they go totally in a wrong direction. Why do you think, of all the religions in the world that all say love your brother as yourself, that we're all one, and that shortly down the road they start saying we're the best one, we're the only path to God, and going to the point where they even justify killing other people, other religions, other indigenous people, because they're the best. Got to be a reason for it. And I'm telling you the reason right now is because people start reaching and they want to have something talk to them. And they will get a negative source almost invariably. And I was aware of this possibility from my initial studies of stuff. And I had to very, very carefully, for probably a few years, as did Terry, have to weigh all the things that were happening, all the things that were being said. And even with that, I think there was certain times when there were negative sources that came through because I was not sharp enough to figure it out at first. And basically, they came through, but unless I kept asking for them, they went away. What they want is they want to create a bond with someone down here that says, I want to talk to so-and-so, and you think you're special because you got somebody talking to you, and you don't realize that you've got a negative source. And the key element about negative sources is that on some level, they have an agenda. They want followers. They want you to give them energy. And they, you know, in the worst cases, they start dealing with the elite and they tell the elite
the agendas. Some of you are aware of elite agendas. And a lot of this was explained in the Ra material. And Ra, let's look at the universe and how the universe works. Okay, we are all in our little lifetime here on Earth. Our little minuscule lifetime, one lifetime. And according to what we've learned, this is one lifetime of 1,000 or even more. And that when we die, we move into an energy form. We move into another dimension or another timeline. And that energy form keeps coming back and having more bodies. And every time you come back, you forget everything, but you carry the matrix of your energy form. And so if you have talents, you can suddenly find, like, I had learned that I was a troubadour. And years ago, I picked up a guitar and I immediately got into it and started writing songs. Things down here that you run into trigger you into opening up this computer, which you could call your soul, and bring in various aspects of your past experiences in this realm. You could meet somebody that you knew in a past lifetime and there's immediate love, or you could meet somebody that did you in and there's immediate mistrust. Well, according to the way Ra explains it, you go through loads of time in this realm. Then you graduate into the fourth density, and you go through loads of lifetimes in the fourth density. And, I mean, I believe it could have been up to millions of our years. Now, keep in mind, from where they are, there's time moves at a wholly different speed. So they're monitoring us over many lifetimes, and we're in this kind of very slow track in our lives in this lifetime. And we keep moving through the densities to the point where we don't have to come back and take a body anymore. We don't need a physical body. We end up as pure energy. And all of these energetic individuations, these pure energies, team up. And it takes millions of years of evolution to get to that point. And they team up, and now there's millions and millions or billions of them, and they're pure energy in another dimension, and they act as, they voluntarily choose to act as a helper and a guide for planets at lower levels of evolution, like ours. And that is who the Ra group is. They work closer in. They work with plans. They plan things. They work with people over time through history to bring events about. And they do things on behalf of giving us opportunities to evolve ourselves. What is evolution in a human body all about? Well, it's connected with the triggering of DNA strands. And DNA strands get triggered because they're in the field of energy of a higher energy than their own strands. I don't. This is a whole topic that we've talked about before, and it's like there's 12 DNA strands in most humans. Two are activated. In many humans, the third is activated. The first seven strands relate to the first seven chakras, and the next five strands relate to expanding yourself outside of your body. And if you come to our Sunday grid healings and we do that meditation, and that you feel those energies moving through your bodies, it's my contention that as we feel those energies, we are helping to evolve, open up our DNA strands. And the key for graduation from the third density is opening up your fourth DNA strand slightly more than half. So to do that, your heart needs to be open. And people wonder what an open heart is. It's not about being nice. It's not about doing charity, although those are all both good things to do, and they certainly help. It's actually an emanation and a radiation from your heart center. And when you're able to do that, it shifts the space that you are in. It uplifts it vibrationally in a way that other people who are ready can also feel it. They start lifting it themselves. You know, some people have marriages and they think, well, my husband doesn't understand this open heart stuff. The key to it is when you open up your heart and you put those emanations out, your husband or your wife can't help but feel it. You have to find, sometimes people can do it right within their relationship. It's a great way to open energies up through intimacy. Intimacy is one of the best ways, if you have it in the right way, to open up your heart and higher chakras, because it's a transfer of energy from heart to heart. And it's not romantic love. It's beyond that. It's above that. And some of you might know the experience or you've had it, but what happens is because it feels so good and it starts opening your energies up, everybody wants to possess it. And as soon as you try to possess it, the energy starts slipping away. There was an English poet that said, he who catches the joy as it flies lives in eternity as sunrise. But he who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy. So you can't control another person. You can't make them give to you. You can inspire them to give to you. They can feel you, and out of compassion, they can make you feel better, and you can make them feel better. But as soon as you think you can control it, as soon as you think it's like a switch you can turn on and off, you usually lose it, usually, because it comes from the spontaneity of the moment. It comes through the giving from your center to another of your being. And in that exchange of being, it opens your heart. It opens those energies. And if you're lucky enough to have a person, then you might try to figure out how you can move your relationship from where it is, assuming it's not at that place, and some of you may have it at that place, but move it from where it's not to that place where it could be. Because that is a great way to be open. But in any case, when there's a community of high-minded people, all these things, these are ways to open your energies, coming into our calls, coming into Team Shift, teamshift.intelligent-infinity.com. I don't talk about it too much because I'm afraid we'll get too many people and we won't be able to manage it. But if you're hearing me and you feel like you need connection with other people, it's read that page and see if it fits you. And now we're going to go, now we have Ra, who is this group soul of beings that have graduated this realm, and they call themselves like a whole planet of beings, a social memory complex, and they interact with us. And if you've been following our calls, it's not a trivial interaction. In fact, there's indications that Jesus was one of these beings that graduated and came back. And not only that, at the time Carla Ruckert did her Ra work, they said there's 65 million people on this planet that came back from their group to be of service here. And they said also that 90% of them, when they come back, they get lost. They get caught up back in the maelstrom. Maelstrom was the word they used, the traps in this realm. You come in through parents. You pick up how your parents' attitudes are. You're brought up in a neighborhood. You have a religion. And you came in from a higher realm, and you keep trying to figure it all out. All of you who are listening know you went through that. And when you got to this work we're doing, it's a click, click, this makes sense. Now, it may not make sense for everybody, but it's making sense for a lot of people. And someone that comes back into this realm and gets lost has to discover something, in most cases, that will trigger them back into these realizations and help reconnect them with their soul family, which for many people is the Ra group. And for others, it's the Elohim group. And, you know, however much it sounds like I understand this, I don't. I'm just like putting together all the pieces as my little earth mind is able to comprehend it and the questions I've asked. And so, when we expand ourselves, when you feel yourself expanded and we're moving into these other dimensions, and how does it feel? It doesn't feel like you're leaving your body. You're not astral traveling. You're in your body and you're expanded, and you feel that sense of expansion, which many of you have experienced on our calls and on our lines. It's like you are positioning yourself, you're mapping yourself into other realms. And as you map yourself and you learn to hold the space of where you mapped yourself while you were alive, that is what is going to determine the potential for your future lives, where you have mapped yourself in this lifetime. So for most people, the fourth density is one of the next locations in their evolution. That's for most people. But for many of you, it's higher than that. And you have the potential to end up in a fifth density world or a sixth density world. And you're mapping yourself in your ability to expand. Now, you know what? This is not a competitive race to be as high as you can go. This is like you got to go at your own pace. You have to be patient. It's kind of like you don't take somebody in second grade and put them in 12th grade because they will fail. They will perish. It's like it's part of evolution. If someone is able to map themselves to a higher place than you, they're not better than you. They just spent more time in this realm than you have. And you've got to pay your dues spending the time. So the goal for many of us is to go to fourth density, to go to this higher realm. And by the way, I've come to understand that the negative exists in fourth density, fifth density, part of sixth density, and not so much, not at all in seventh density, just a little bit in sixth density. Because what happens is the higher in the densities you go, the higher negative you can be. You get into black magic, you get into, occult control systems, and this world is a mishmash of negative and positive. And as Ra has put it, you can evolve up through the densities by either path, the negative and the positive, or service to self and service to others. And with service to self, you need a 95% dedication to service to self. And with service to others, you need a 51% dedication to service to others, which means you can be almost half pretty bad and still keep graduate this realm. So what does it mean to be service to self? What does it mean to have a 95% dedication to self? Well, let's think of a movie star who makes all the money in the world, who can pay for people to take care of them, to massage them, and basically he set himself up with a bunch of slaves, and he made himself loads of money, and everyone adores him, and he always looks good because he's always being taken care of, and yet he can be service to self. It's a very slight kind of adjustment between service to self and service to others. Because on one hand, you do have to make yourself happy. You can't just, well, you could, I'm not saying this is wrong, you could just sacrifice yourself for everyone else, but eventually you'll have no money, you'll have no time, and you'll be crazy. So there is a balance where you do a better job for other people by taking care of yourself. If you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not keeping yourself happy, how can you lift other people? So now we have this group, Soul, the Ra group. And one time early on, I asked a question about the Ra group here. And I said, actually, in the way the question was written, to give you an idea of some of the things the Ra group does, there was a planet in our, there were two planets in our solar system that both had life. One was Mars, and the other was Maldek. And Maldek blew itself up and became the asteroids. And through Carla Ruckert, the Ra group had said that they moved the souls of the Maldekians and the Martians to Earth. They could actually move souls from one place to another. And the Ra group administrates that. And they also say, and this is one of the interesting things when I was questioning Daphne in our initial channelings, and I was trying to ask all these questions that I had learned from the David Wilcock material and the Carla Ruckert material, and my mind was a bit spinning, and I said, well, let me ask and see if I get the same answers. And they did give straight across the board, almost straight across the board, the same answers as were coming through Carla Ruckert's material, the Ra group. And it was indicated in this shift that our planet is going through that those people that were going to be what the Ra group called cycle repeaters were going to get their soul energies, would get moved to another planet to repeat this realm, to repeat third density, to repeat the lessons of power and individuality. That's the lesson of this realm, power and individuality. The lesson of the fourth density is compassion and empathy. And so those people that are graduating are going to be in a realm of compassion and empathy. Now, I had the question, how can you have negative in a realm of compassion and empathy? I even asked that to Carla in a private conversation because I didn't understand it. And she said, and I got it, she said, well, you just love yourself. If you're loving yourself and you attract all this energy to yourself, your heart energy is open. But it's all about directing energy in manipulative ways to keep it open. And in the key element between service to others and service to self is free will. Free will. Because we all need things. We all have our shadow side. We need things. We need food. We need money. We need sex, some of us. We need whatever we need. And if we don't have those things, we suffer. And some of us, I'm not saying everyone, some people don't, but most of us suffer if we don't have certain needs met. And those needs are not bad. You're not supposed to feel guilty about them because they're part of your animal human side and you're in a body. So, you know, Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true. Be honest with yourself. The key to needs is, can you fulfill your needs out of free will and not out of manipulation, trickery, slavery, etc., etc.? And that is where the balance point is between service to self and service to others. Service to self fulfills their needs any way they can. And they don't worry about being honest. They don't worry about who they screw. They don't care who they say they love and leave. They just fulfill their needs any way they can. When you're service to others, if you're going to work on that, you have to learn to fulfill your needs in very honest, authentic ways in relationship with other people in real ways. Otherwise, you lose it. You start falling backwards. And if you're going to be service to self, you got to do it big time if you want to keep evolving. Otherwise, you get stuck in the same place. So it's a lot easier in the long run to honor free will. And that is why free will is so crucial to the soul groups we talk about. Because people say, well, why don't you just do this or fix that or do this? And they won't do it. You know, we are on our own path. And they can help us. I mean, in the raw material, you know, in general, on the other side, there's a group from the Orions, which are generally considered the bad guys, the service to self, bent on planetary conquest, responsible for a lot of the negative that comes through here. They can channel And there's 10 times more of the Rod Group than there are of the Orions, except the Orions don't worry about asking. They will do anything to get a foothold. They will say they're the Rod Group. Do you know that in Egypt, somewhere around 10,000 B.C., there was a big intervention of the Rod Group in this realm. And they built the pyramids by levitation. They were working with an Egyptian priest that was the former life of, guess who? Edgar Casey, David Wilcock. This was all in the Edgar Casey material. They talked about Rata building the pyramids by levitation, doing all these miracles of healing, and but the Edgar Casey material never talked about a group soul. And the Carla Rucker raw material talked about a high priest, a priest in Egypt that the Ra group had an affinity with, 10,000 B.C., and that they worked with that high priest, did miracles of healing, built the pyramids, and but they never said it was Edgar Casey. You know, I discovered this early on, and I said, oh, my God, I am onto something. I am discovering something, because these are two references that it seemed like there was a very high indication. They were both talking about the same incident, but neither one, one didn't talk about soul groups, and the other didn't talk about Edgar Casey. But it was, but the name was Ra-Ta. Now, also in the Edgar Casey material, Ra-Ta became known historically as Ra, the sun god. And in the Carla Rucker material, it said that the work we did, this is the Ra group speaking, was picked up by the negative forces in that in the realm, the negative, the priesthood. And instead of using it to uplift people, it was used to control them, to use fear. You see, when you have these secret sources in other dimensions, and people think you have it, and they don't, and they can't access it, and you're keeping it to yourself, it's very intimidating. And so for thousands of years, Egypt was under the auspices of the negative. Most of the gods of Egypt, if not all, were of the negative. And they were beings in other realms or beings in spaceships that were control, trying to control everything. And but they still used the name Ra, because Ra started it with David Wilcock. And David knows all of this. Ra started it 10,000 B.C. And so they used the word Ra, but they put a negative on it, and they said Amun Ra, Amun Ra. That's the name, the negative name that the Egyptians used for Ra. And that's the name some of the secret societies use for God, for Ra. And that's when I first started trying to figure this out. I was trying to figure it out because I said, is Ra positive? You know, sometimes Christians will go back and talk about Ra, and they're aware of the pagan Ra and the rituals in Egypt, and said Ra is negative. But this is how it actually happened. They renamed Ra and called him, called Amun Ra, which was not the group soul. And guess what? Amun Ra. Every religious prayer, what does it end with? Amen. Where do you think Amen comes from? Amun. So you see how this gets plugged in and becomes part of consensus. And no one knows what's happening. And I'm going to, like, look here and read a couple of the things from the raw material. And, you know, this is available for free on Carla Ruckert's website. And we have her on many times as a guest. And perhaps next week we might even just continue this conversation. And, of course, keep in mind, even though she was the channel for the raw material, she was in a trance. So she had to study it herself and figure it out. She may not be as much of an expert on it as someone else. In fact, her husband, she says her husband is more adept at it than she is. But nonetheless, there were these 4 years of communication between Carla Ruckert and Don Elkins, who was the questionnaire, and this voice that said it was the Ra Group. And Don Elkins had a little channeling group, and in his channeling group, you know, they were talking to a lot of lower entities or even high lower entities, and at one point he asked a question that couldn't be answered by the lower entities, and suddenly a voice came in. Let me just see. I'll open this up. And this was in January 15th, 1981. He asked a question, and he said, the answer was, I am Ra. I have not spoken through this instrument before. We had to wait until she was precisely tuned, as we send a narrow band vibration. We greet you in the love and the light of our infinite creator. We have watched your group. We have been called to your group, for you have a need for the diversity of experiences and channeling, which go with a more intensive, or as you might call it, advanced approach to the system of studying the pattern of the illusions of your body, your mind, and your spirit, which you call seeking the truth. We hope to offer you a somewhat different slant upon the information, which is always and ever the same. At this time, we would be glad to attempt to speak to any subject or question which those entities in this room may have potential use in the requesting. So the first question was, do you have a specific purpose? And if so, could you tell us something of what your purpose is? I am Ra. We communicate now. We are those who are of the law of one. In our vibration, the polarities are harmonized. The complexities are simplified. The paradoxes have a solution. We are one. That is our nature and our purpose. We are old upon your planet and have served with varying degrees of success in transmitting the law of one, of unity, of singleness to your people. We have walked your planet. We have seen the faces of your people. However, we now feel the great responsibility of staying in the capacity of removing the distortions and powers that have been given to the Law of One. We will continue in this until, shall we say, your cycle is appropriately ended. If not this one, then the next. We are not part of time, and thus we are able to be with you in any of your times. Now, what did they say? This cycle is this 75,000-year cycle that's coming to an end. And they said, and they will be with us on our next cycle, 75,000 years from now. And they will be working just as they are now to help us understand, not just understand, but energetically connect with their frequencies or the frequencies of the higher realms. And then the questionnaire said, I've heard the name Ra in connection with Egyptians. Are you connected with that Ra in any way? I am Ra. Yes, the connection is congruency. May we elucidate? What do you not understand? Could you give me a little more detail about your role with the Egyptians? I am Ra. The identity of the vibration Ra is our identity. We as a group, or what you would call a social memory complex, made contact with a race of your planetary kind, which you call Egyptians. Others from our density made contact at the same time in South America, and the so-called lost cities were their attempts to contribute to the Law of One. We spoke to one who heard and understood and was in a position to decree the Law of One. And that they're referring there now to that early life of Edgar Cayce David Wilcock. However, the priests and peoples of that era quickly distorted our message, robbing it of the, shall we say, compassion with which unity is informed by its very nature. When we were no longer able to have appropriate channels through which to enunciate the Law of One, we removed ourselves from the now hypocritical position which we had allowed ourselves to be placed in. Other myths, shall we say, having more to do with polarity and the things of your vibration that are complex, again, took over in that particular society complex. Well, they go on and on about Egypt, and they go into a lot of detail about it. And, of course, what is amazing in this little sci-fi movie that you are all participating in by being on these calls is that I started talking to the Elohim group for at least a year, and at one point I had asked a question, and suddenly through Terry the voice came through and said, I am Ra, and answered my question. Now I'm scratching my head because I'm reading about Ra and I'm talking to the Elohim and I'm saying, is this real? Is this really real?